Our next guest comes at a request by some one of our networks up in Washington State. I talked about that earlier, and we've had her on before, and we're happy, very happy to have her on again. She has served as the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons since 1989. She is currently president of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. She's also author of several books, Your Doctor Is Not In, Healthy Skepticism About National Healthcare. Yeah, you think? We really enjoy having her on. Her website is drjaneorient.com. That's one of them. AAPSonline.org, about the Association for Surgeons. AAPSonline.org and physiciansforinformedconsent.org. If you haven't guessed by now, it is the one and only Dr. Jane Oriott. Dr. Jane, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you as always. This is crazy times. We were talking a little bit during the lead up to the show live, and this is crazy. The first question I'll ask you, I'll just throw it out there. What is the most important thing on your radar right now? Let's just start there.
The most important thing is that people are being denied information. And maybe more than 500,000 people in the world have died needlessly of COVID because they're being denied early treatment.
Well, let's talk about that. What does that mean?
Well, it means that what doctors are doing is telling patients who have symptoms of COVID or who test positive for it to go home, isolate yourself, drink some fluids, stay in bed, maybe take some Tylenol, and come back to the hospital if you can't breathe or your oxygen level is dropping to dangerous levels, and maybe we'll admit you and put you on a ventilator. And hospitals have really an appalling mortality rate, maybe at least 25% more in some circumstances. There are thousands of doctors throughout the world who are giving patients early at-home treatment that's preventing them from ending up in the hospital.
What would you say, the two-part question, what is the percentage of people who end up on a ventilator who actually die? And then what is, these other countries, what are they doing that we're not doing in America?
Well, you can see different figures. There's been a mortality rate reported as high as 80%. In people when they wind up on a ventilator. That's probably higher, much higher than in most places, but still it's very, very high. And in other countries, people are getting cheap, available, safe medicines delivered to their home when they call in and have a suspicion that they have COVID-19. They may get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, some vitamin D, some zinc, some vitamin C, maybe some other medications. But in other countries, even third world countries that can't afford all these fancy, sophisticated medicines, patients are being treated early at home, being kept out of the hospital. And when some of these countries have instituted treatment, like, for example, with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, their death rate has very rapidly plummeted. And some of them, they have a death rate one-tenth per million population compared with the United States.
Ivermectin, is that the dewormer that's for dogs, the use for dogs? Is that true?
Dogs, horses, sheep, all kinds of livestock. It's also used in human to treat scabies or head lice.
It was approved
in 1981, very widely used in Africa, has saved people from river blindness and filariasis, dread parasitic diseases. And now it has just turned out to be very effective for preventing COVID-19 or treating it at any stage of the illness.
What does it do? I mean, that's kind of a weird connection, though, a dewormer compared to COVID. Why does it do anything? That's fascinating.
Well, kill viruses, and maybe also has an anti-inflammatory effect, but it changes the conditions in the cell where the virus replicates so that it can't replicate. I think there are several mechanisms of actions that have been suggested, but in the laboratory, it kills virus, and in human beings who are infected, they get better.
What is river blindness?
Well, it's a parasitic disease that's pretty common in Africa that ends up making people blind because it infects their eyes, the conjunctiva of their cornea.
Is this just something they get it? There's some parasite that's in the water, I guess, in the river. That's where it comes from.
Right, yeah. Right.
Wow. So third world countries understand this, and it's pretty simple to them and fairly cheap to do this, but America, the richest country in the world, so to speak, doesn't understand this. Why? Why the disconnect?
People keep asking me that, and I just have to say, I don't know. I mean, it looks as though they're trying to kill people, or they're just trying to make a huge profit. If they scare people to death, then they will get emergency approval for their drugs and vaccines and that are under patent and that they can sell for billions of dollars.
So, common sense would say this is a money play or they want people to die or some combination. I mean, what other conclusion can you come to? That's kind
of
what you're
saying. Like to know some other suggestion about that. We do know that the same people who are urgently pushing to vaccinate the whole world, like Bill Gates, also have a publicly expressed agenda that to save the planet, we need to drastically reduce the human population.
Talk about that, because, you know, people like me on this radio show, Joyce before me on the show, 20 plus years, we've been saying there is a plot by certain circles that they want to reduce the population easier to control. And you're a lunatic. And now it seems like they openly are talking about this. You're a very profound, very well-known doctor. You are saying this. I mean, it's not like you have a tinfoil hat on your head. Why the change and what the reality for somebody listening at home, how real that statement is that you just made?
I think that these people have been very open about their belief that the globe is overpopulated and it will always be expressed as, oh, for the good of our children and grandchildren. We hope you don't have any, by the way, but in case you do, for the good of the future generations, we need to have a sustainable Earth, which means many, many fewer human beings. Some of them even look upon human beings as a virus infecting the planet. And this has been no secret. It's been around for a long, long time. Bill Gates has certainly said so. He has had these tremendous immunization plans in Africa. I think if he really wanted to save African lives, he'd concentrate on safe water and cheap electricity, but instead he's trying to vaccinate everybody. And it said, well, if we can reduce the child mortality by vaccination, we'll end up reducing the population by 10 to 15%. You know, that means like about a billion worldwide. And, you know, he doesn't admit that the vaccinations themselves might kill people, although they occasionally do. But just if the children live longer, the women will stop having babies or stop having so many babies.
Well, think about the logic in that. If children live longer, but now they'll have less. It really, that should cancel itself out. Well, if they're dying anyway, then they're not living anyway. I mean, I'm not being morbid about this, but even logically, that doesn't even make sense. He said in that interview, I remember the interview, he said three things. He said, if we do really good on reproductive services and vaccines, and reproductive services meaning abortions. So if we do really good with abortions and vaccines, we'll be able to control the population. And I'm looking at this and like, what the hell did he just say? What? I mean, you're a very well-known doctor. Is that what you took out of it, too? Because that's what I got out of it.
Right. Reproductive health services means abortion. It means sterilization. Many thousands, anyway, of women in India were involuntarily sterilized. Sometimes they really had the choice of that or having all of their government benefits cut off and starving to death, or just voluntary contraception. I do know that anti-fertility vaccines were under development at one point. And I know at least one person who was working on that who stopped working on it. They were accused of putting anti-fertility substances in tetanus vaccines in Kenya or someplace. I think the Catholic Church accused them of that. And it turned out that that was true, as far as I know, So vaccination can be used to destroy fertility. Whether the current vaccines that cause you to make spike proteins, this foreign viral protein, so that you become immune to it, has an overlap with the proteins that you need to reproduce, like to form a placenta. It's been speculated. Pfizer denies it or denies that it's very likely that the overlap in the proteins is very small and this wouldn't happen, but they don't have the animal studies and certainly not the human follow-up to rule it out.
So what you're talking about, that's exactly where I was going to go with my next question. Very high up in Pfizer, somebody retired or in a different field, I'm really not sure, they've posed that question. Has anybody tested this? Because the same protein you're now changing your DNA to fight is the same protein that build the placenta. Has anybody tested if this is going to make somebody sterile?
No, it's not been tested. I think a lot of vaccine package inserts will say that the effects on carcinogenesis, mutagenesis, you know, like birth defects or impairment of fertility have not been tested.
So you're telling me, and I'm not, this isn't like a news flash to most of our audience, but you're a real great source on this. You're telling me that this emergency quote-unquote COVID quote-unquote vaccine RNA changer manipulates our DNA but has not been tested for any long-term effects of that manipulation, especially specifically on fertilization, sterilization, and or birth defects.
Well, I don't know that it affects our DNA. It does not get into the nucleus. Maybe it affects our mitochondrial DNA. It's a messenger RNA. And I don't know its effect on DNA, but it does cause your body to produce the spike protein. It turns you into a vaccine factory, or at least, you know, something that stimulates your immune system. And the long-term effects on fertility have not been tested.
Is it true? We've heard stories, you know, you mentioned Bill Gates. He has these vaccine programs for, you know, villages in the outer reach of different places in the world. I've heard stories that some of these villages, when they see the UN truck coming or the vaccine truck coming now, they send all the women and children to the hills, and then literally the men and women, or the men that are left, in some cases have slaughtered the UN doctors that have come to give them vaccines. Do you know anything about that?
I think that I have heard that this is reported. I've even seen something in Science magazine that the vaccinators have to take a police escort with them sometimes, and that people do assault them, and they do hide their children.
Wow. With all that information, and with all everything that you just said, why would I roll up my sleeve just willy-nilly, just here I am, I just trust you, and take this vaccine? Why would I do that?
I think people have been taught to trust the CDC and the NIH and the FDA and our government, and then the critics of those are shut down as being anti-vaxxers and anti-science and so on, and so people have become trusting of their government. And why they're trusting of drug companies, I don't know, because like Pfizer, I believe, has paid billions of dollars in fines for misconduct. I think some of them may have even been criminal fines for misconduct, you know, for concealing things. And plus, these drug companies are immune from product liability if they're producing these emergency vaccines, just like they are if they produce vaccines, the Vaccines for Children program.
You know, I'm not a doctor, but I watch Game Show Network, and you'll see where I'm going. And it seems like at night on Game Show Network, I'm trying to watch Family Feud, and every other month there's a new drug that some lawyer is on TV saying, did you take Vioxx? Did you have a hernia mesh? Did you take Zantac? I mean, Zantac was promoted by Larry the Cable Guy. I mean, for heaven's sakes. And now it's like, well, you may lose a limb. You better call us quick or whatever. It seems like every month there's a new drug. Why do people have any, how should we feel about this?
Oh, I thought that every other commercial was for a drug commercial, and you see these people with music in the background, and they're running and playing and happy and elated and beautiful and so on. talking about their new drug, and then they have in the background a list of all the horrible side effects that, you know, they're gone by really, really rapidly, and it just doesn't fit with the picture that you're seeing of all these happy, healthy people. So, yeah, we have this direct-to-people advertising, and it apparently works very well. And networks are dependent on this advertising, and they would probably lose it if they were to say anything too critical about that drugs or vaccines.
Now, it used to be in America, it was illegal for a commercial like that, a direct-to-consumer commercial like that. When did that change?
I don't recall exactly when it changed, but it was big change. And you could say, well, people that way can get the information firsthand. It's just that it's certainly being used to promote things to people who are pretty gullible and to increase the demand for drugs. You ask your doctor about it, so the patient comes in to the doctor, why can't I have this?
I find it so hypocritical that a country, the FDA, has been so in our pocketbooks and in our lives, so to speak. They're so abhorrent to anybody having any kind of any opinion that they think crosses on their territory of medical opinion. Like, my God, you can't have a medical opinion. You can't decide for yourself. You can't, don't recommend anything. You can't even talk about this with your neighbor, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, here, you're responsible enough for me to advertise to you and for you to make the decision and then tell your doctor. you're responsible enough for you to buy this stuff, but anything else, you're going to go to jail if you have that opinion.
Well, the FDA has a reputation for being very, very tough, and it certainly is on somebody who might be selling vitamins or on innovations that truly would be disruptive, even if they're not drugs, even if they should really be considered part of the practice of medicine. So they do block access sometimes for decades to things that would have saved millions of lives had they been available. On the other hand, they're rushing to approval things that could be very, very dangerous, and that to which cheap, long-established, safe drugs, safer than most over-the-counter drugs, that would compete with them are discouraged, blocked, even banned.
It's the censorship. I'm very concerned. You know, now we're seeing, you know, the President of the United States just got permanently banned from Twitter. Okay, I mean, no matter what political line you fall on, you know, everybody, conservative voice, our YouTube channel gets canceled. It's been about a year, a little less than a year, that people like yourself who's speaking out about hydroxy, hey, get on this hydroxy, they were like wiped, digitally erased from the landscape. Censorship is a big concern. Your level of concern about the censorship, and you know, where is your mind about that? You mentioned it earlier. Let's go into it a little deeper.
Well, the problem of censorship is certainly very, very concerning. I mean, how can you have trust in people who won't let you listen to an alternate point of view?
There's a lot of noise going on in the background. I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Say that again.
So, yeah, the censorship is very, very concerning.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. How else are people to learn about things if they can't find out from the internet, since they're certainly not going to find out from the people who are dependent on drug advertising.
What does that portend for you as you see this? Are you scared for the future? Do you think it's going to get worse? Do you think America's going to rebel against?
For the future of our country, certainly for the future of medicine, because if doctors cannot advise patients according to what they really believe, and they're just stuck with the drop-down menus in their corporate managed care plan, how can patients hope to get individualized treatment or to get the best possible treatment? It is just very, in a way, we have nationalized medicine already because there are so many barriers to independent private practice.
We had about a minute or so before the break. This is an important question. Let's start there, and we'll get into it on the other side. So somebody listening to this about COVID, what should they do right now? If, say, they don't have any symptoms, whatever, they're not sick, what should they be doing to prevent? And if they do have symptoms, then what should they do then?
Well, they should download our booklet on aapsonline.org that talks about the importance of vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc, the importance about having access to a physician who will be willing to advise you and write prescriptions for you if you develop COVID-19, instead of just telling you to go to the ER if you can't breathe.
Now, my aunt just went through this, and her doctor point blank would not prescribe ivermectin or hydroxy for her. I think it was too late for hydroxy. She had, you know, too long into the symptoms, but her doctor would not prescribe ivermectin for her.
Well, this is happening all over the country to all kinds of people. And we do have a website, c19protocols.com, that does have at the end some resources on where you might be able to find a doctor, at least for a telehealth consultation, if your own doctor is not treating you.
Now, here's the kicker about this. My aunt, who I'm talking about, she lives in the house with her husband, my cousin, her grandson. They're all very close. They live with my cousin now. My aunt got very sick. She's all around. She is all as close as she possibly could be to the rest of them. None of the other ones got sick. Of course, they were, you know, starting this protocol that I kind of got them on, vitamin D, C, all zinc, all those. But out of all of them, the person who wore the mask, a mask the most, was my aunt. My aunt wore the mask the most, and she's the one who got sick. Are you seeing any link here?
Oh, I don't see how you can make a link with one person, but I think it's clear that these mask mandates do not accomplish anything, that the case rate continues to go up after the mask mandate goes into effect. Certainly masks do harm in many ways, maybe give you an enhanced sense of security, or maybe just get you to breathe in all kinds of bacteria and fungi that grow in the masks, particularly when you don't wash them and you just stuff them in your pocket.
Well, there's the music. There's the break. We got about a four-minute break or so, Dr. Orient. On the other side, more, DrJaneOrient.com is our website, and also AAPSonline.org. Great resource, physiciansforinformedconsent.org. Stay tuned. The one and only Dr. Jane Orient. You're listening to the Power Hour.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Your health is your responsibility. I mean, that's what we've, if I've learned anything from listening and being and hosting the Power Hour, it is that. Your health is your responsibility. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. And we provide and bring on the best guests and the best products that we can to facilitate that. ThePowerMall.com. ThePowerMall.com. 877-817-9829. ThePowerMall.com. Great sales. Please check them out. The Core Strauss Heart Drops and the whole Strauss line is there. Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail, the Phosphatidylcholine, the Astaxanthin, the REM Sleep, the Tranquil, the other things you need. You gotta have these products before you need these products. That's one thing I've learned, especially with my aunt. Getting back to Dr. Orient, drjaneorient.com is one of her websites, aapsonline.org, physiciansforinformedconsent.org. One thing I've learned about my aunt here, Dr. Orient, is or learned from my aunt's situation, is you have to have these products in your possession before you need them, because if you need them and then you're trying to find them, it's too late. What would you say to that?
Well, that could well be. You may not be able to get a doctor to prescribe for you, or your pharmacy may decline to dispense. It depends partly on what state you're in, and some pharmacists are use their own individual judgment to decide they don't want to fill your prescription. So you may have to shop around a bit. And if you need to order something online, there's always going to be a delay in getting it delivered to you. Maybe you have a good health food store in your area, but maybe you have to order it online. So it's good to be prepared in advance.
Before the break, you were talking about masks, and this has been, since the beginning, is such a controversial issue to everybody except the people telling us what to do. They seem to have no problem telling us to wear a mask, no problem telling us to stay in our house. In other countries, here in America, it's a little sparse, these controls, but other countries, the controls on people are, I mean, literally, staying in your house 23 hours a day. You can only go out once a week. You're walking down the street by yourself or in a park with no mask. You're arrested. I mean, that's what we're seeing. As a doctor, I mean, how do you react to any of that?
Well, it's certainly, from a medical standpoint, absurd. Masks have their place. If you're dealing with an infected patient or you're working in a facility where they're likely to be exposed to an infectious disease and you're using your mask properly, but for the general public to be using it the way they're using it is based on no scientific evidence whatsoever. And all these people who are complaining about lack of randomized controlled trials or enough of them for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin are completely happy with interventions like lockdowns and masks that have no basis in scientific evidence. And we know that the harms are devastating and the benefits are imaginary, that a lot of countries that have the worst lockdowns have the worst diseases. Some that have no lockdowns are very mildly affected. It is just really bizarre. It's an attack on our freedom. It's an attack on our humanity and really on our lives.
Why is it that I won't say the powers that be, but whatever, the people who are making these recommendations, why are they so cocksure in these recommendations when what you just said?
I can't figure that out. I mean, if you're a doctor and you're treating patients, you are all the time being frightened by how little you know and how dangerous it is to practice medicine. That whatever you do could be the wrong thing. People could get hurt. You could get sued. You could get taken before the medical licensure board. But above all, you may do something that turns out not to be the best thing for your patient. And you never know what would have happened if you had done something different. So how these people are completely lacking in humility indicates to me that they're just not dealing in the real world, that they're not accountable. A lot of them are employees that are working on the shift, and there's responsibility is diffused all over the place, so nobody, you can't point the finger of blame at any one person if things don't go right.
You've been a doctor for quite a number of years, quite a number of decades. We don't want to get into your age or anything, but you've seen some things is why I say that. How has the medical industry changed over the years? Have you seen it change? And if so, how?
Well, it's changed really, really drastically. When I first went into solo private practice, I was responsible for my individual patients. At one point I had admitting privileges at 5 hospitals. There were only 3 of them that I used, but sometimes I'd be making rounds at 3 hospitals before I went to the office. I could admit patients from my desk, call in, and they would reserve a bed. I'd send the patient to the hospital with a set of orders already written, and then I would go to see them. I'd be the one that get the calls in the middle of the night if the nurses had a question. I called the consultants, but I was the attending physician, and so I was responsible for whatever happened, but I also had some control over what had happened. Now, very few patients can follow very few physicians can follow their patients to the hospital. Nobody gets admitted except going through the emergency room. They'll be cared for by a hospitalist who won't know them. Some of the hospitalists are very good. Some of them are not so good. Some of them do not communicate with either the family or the outside physicians. Visitors are barred from the hospital, so nobody knows exactly what's going on. I always used to tell patients, if you go to the hospital, take someone with you. Make sure that you're not over-sedated. Make sure you're getting the right medicines on time. Make sure that they feed you. Make sure that they clean up the trash. But now we can't do that. You may be 20 people coming into the patient's room, all wearing protective gear, but the patient's son is not allowed to come in, even if he could get the same protective gear. It's just appalling what's happening.
Why that change?
Oh, I think it's been building up gradually over time to sever the patient-physician relationship, to make all patients dependent on government paid for and government dictated medical care. And doctors have gone along with it. And they go, well, this way we get a reliable paycheck. And we just have to follow these rules, which once we've accepted them, they become more and more impossibly onerous.
The COVID, a lot of people have come out, Luc Montagnier's come out and said it's definitely man-made. He's looked at it, Nobel Prize winner. There's been other different varying opinions of people who have spoken out, researchers in India, researchers in different places. When they do, they get absolutely crucified in the media and in the medical boards. Am I seeing this? Am I making this up, or is this really happening? And what do you make of it if it is?
Well, I really don't know. There have been allegations that this has the mark of a man-made virus or laboratory modified virus. I've also had virologists say no, it's a natural thing. We do know that RNA viruses do mutate routinely and that they do jump species from time to time. So I don't think that we know. But what we do know is that we need to treat these patients early, that we can treat them, we can prevent them from dying and going to the hospital instead of getting all wrapped up in theoretical theories about how this came about. We need to be concentrating on how to get these patients well. If it is a biological warfare thing, we know that countries have been working on this for decades. We know there could be other outbreaks. We need to have ways of treating the patients, getting information out about repurposing old drugs to accomplish this.
What is the deal with this PCR test? The reliability on this is sketchy at best. What's your feeling?
Well, I think PCR was never intended to be a diagnostic test. It was meant to be a manufacturing technique. It takes a minimal quality of a quantity of genetic material and amplifies it a million times or a billion times, and just to tell whether it is present. If you'd run enough cycles, then you could probably make anybody turn positive. If you're running more than 30 or 35 cycles, then in only 3% of the cases are you able to culture any viable virus. So I think if you're testing a lot of people with overly sensitive tests, and they're mostly asymptomatic healthy people, more than 90% of your positive tests could be false positives. On the other hand, there are false negatives. So if you have a patient who is symptomatic, it's not a good idea to rely on a negative test and deny them treatment, because the wait and see approach could cause the patient to go just downhill rapidly to the point where you're not able to save them.
How can something that is so encompassing of all over the world, of our lives, so invasive of our lives, be handled so... I mean, I'm listening to you. I mean, nothing is reliable about this. I've not heard anything reliable from any quote-unquote trusted source. Nothing I can rely on from them, period. Nothing, including the tests. I mean, how can this be?
Well, they keep changing their minds, don't they? There's masks and no masks. Then there's lockdowns and no lockdowns. Go back to school. Don't go back to school. Anthony Fauci saying, well, if we could have we need to have a treatment or a vaccine, but now we know treatment, unless it's one of these really expensive, probably unavailable ones, don't count. And now we have a vaccine, but even with the vaccine, it's not a magic bullet. You still can't take off your mask and go outside, because we don't know whether it prevents transmission or not. Fact is, we don't. We don't know that. But we're going to maybe make everybody take them anyway before we let them go anywhere. It's just also contradictory. It does not make sense, except from the standpoint that something sinister is going on, that terrifying the whole world, and then barring access to treatment is deliberate at some level, and I certainly don't have an explanation for it.
Well, to take it a little further to your paranoia, to everybody's paranoia, really, they're talking about quote-unquote vaccine passports in Denmark. Some of the other countries, we're talking here in America, certain New York introduced the bill where if the governor thinks that you're sick and that you need to be separated, well, by God, you're going to be separated and sent to some little facility where we deem necessary. This is not theory. This is being talked about right now. Address the travel concerns.
Well, it's making it very difficult to travel anywhere. And places like New York or certain other states, they won't, if you leave the state, they won't let you back in without a period of quarantine unless maybe you can pass, they can show that you have a recently negative test, or maybe they'll make you show that you had a vaccine. Yeah, it's getting so, the places you just can't travel freely, and maybe you don't want to travel anywhere because you don't know when the rules are going to change. You might not be able to go home.
Do you watch a lot of movies? I don't know. You're probably pretty busy. You probably don't. I do watch movies. This sounds more and more every day like some science fiction movie to me.
Yeah, it really does.
I don't even know what I'm asking you, but how are we supposed to take that? That am I watching a movie or is this real life? I can't tell anymore.
Well, I think it's real life, and a lot of people don't know what to do because they can't really believe that it's happening, and they don't really know what to do. For one thing, they're afraid that all these experts are telling them one thing, and if they don't have any contrary information or nobody that they really can trust, what are they supposed to do?
All right, from your opinion, you're a trusted source, you're executive director of the AAPS, you have been on this issue from the very beginning, at least addressing some of these things. You have a sane voice, a sane perspective, a common sense approach to this. I want to hear you. I think people around the country want to hear you. Okay, what should I do? What should we do concerning this, me individually and my family? What should I do?
Well, first, download our early guide to treatment. Was done mainly with the help of Peter McCullough of Baylor, who is a cardiologist who has treated hundreds of patients in collaboration with physicians both here and Italy and probably other places who have treated hundreds or thousands of patients and are having success. They're rarely having a patient end up in the hospital and even more rarely dying by using these early treatments. He's outlined the three phases of the disease. The early phase where the virus is replicating in your body. The second phase where you may be hampered by the overreactive immune system with inflammation. And then the third phase when the mechanism of death is probably blood clots that people were just not recognizing for months because they didn't do autopsies and they didn't really know what was going on. And there are phases of treatment. There you need a sequence of treatment. You probably need a combination of treatment. There is not one magic bullet. There is not one treatment that works well for everybody. You need to work in collaboration with a physician who cares whether you live or die and who is available to recommend these additional treatments.
My aunt's doctor wanting to prescribe her antibiotics. I've heard from everybody I've talked to said that's completely the wrong thing to do. What are they?
No, it's not completely the wrong thing to do. We've been telling patients for decades antibiotics don't help viral illnesses. That is probably just plain false. And if you look, I mean, there's a lot of laboratory evidence that many antibiotics have an inhibitory effect on some viruses. If you combine like azithromycin or doxycycline with the hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, it does seem to have an additional benefit. We just had an article in our journal by Dr. Lee Merritt, M-E-R-R-I-T, that you can get at jpands.org. That's the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, which addresses this long-standing misperception that viral diseases are untreatable. Yeah, we overuse antibiotics, and a lot of people don't need the antibiotics, and a lot of things that don't help. But still, the fact is that for many viral diseases, antibiotics really do help.
So combined with something like hydroxy and ivermectin, they really help of what we're seeing, or in many cases.
Yes, they really do. Now, they may treat bacterial superinfection. That's kind of the rationale. But I think they have a direct effect on the virus. They may treat a coexisting chlamydia infection that has been asymptomatic but that may flare up when your defenses are down because of the virus. So these things are included in our early treatment guidelines at aapsonline.org. It's right on the homepage. It's free to download, and we encourage you to take a look at it and have it available for your doctor to take a look at. I mean, not all doctors are completely resistant to new ideas, but a lot of them are threatened. They're afraid they're going to lose their job, like Dr. Simone Gold, the founder of America's Frontline Doctors,
yes,
did. They're afraid of complaints to the medical board, which many doctors have experienced. So it really is a problem.
How real is that fear? You know, when you see somebody like Simone out there up front talking about this, and they basically make an example of her. I mean, does that really put a chilling effect? I mean, does your industry understand the chilling effect and the consequences are possibly there?
Oh, I think they do, but I don't think they want to talk about it. They don't even want to acknowledge that this Simone Gold may be right about some things. They'll just say, well, I follow the NIH guidelines, or I follow the CDC guidelines, and these guidelines are therapeutic nihilism. They just don't do anything until it fits into one of the categories that we say you can treat. I mean, the NIH doesn't even recommend checking for clotting factors, even though blood clots is what people are dying from.
What about steroids? What's your thoughts on the steroids that people are getting?
I think a lot of people are seeing tremendous symptomatic benefit from the steroids, that at least after the initial phase of the disease, the harm to your organs comes from the inflammatory process. And so the use of steroids is not only shown to be beneficial, but it makes a lot of sense.
What is, in the early stage, you said there's three phases, the early, the overreactive, like a cytokine storm phase, and then the blood clot phase. In the early stage, what are people feeling? What's the first sign where somebody say, oh, boy, I need to kick in now to my early stage treatment?
It could be that the earliest reliable sign is loss of sense of smell or taste. That doesn't happen to everybody, though. A first symptom may just be fatigue, headache, muscle aches, cough, things that could be anything. You know, any viral illness may start in the same way. Something that seems to be more indicative of COVID, though, is the loss of taste or smell.
Well, a cough. I mean, it's winter. Everybody coughs about everything. So smell, taste. Is there anything else kind of peculiar to COVID that we can, besides that?
I don't know. There are a lot of GI symptoms sometimes in some people, not in everybody. So it's just, it's hard to tell. I mean, doctors kind of depend on what's going around and what the constellation of symptoms is. And sometimes they just guess, and sometimes they say, well, I don't know that it's COVID, but it might be. Why don't we give you some hydroxychloroquine and vitamin D and zinc just in case? Although some doctors will say, oh, they only treat high-risk patients. Others will say, that's kind of, why don't we treat everybody in the early stages? It's a difference of professional opinion, and increasingly, that's not allowed these days.
It seems like the test, I know there's one in Spain, I think another one in America, I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was a hospital in California. They're testing these people who are really sick, the ones that are dying. Up to 80% of them had severe vitamin D deficiency. The correlation being, or the conclusion being, that, hey, if people have enough vitamin D in them, they're pretty much not going to die from this COVID. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that your risk of dying is about four times higher if you're vitamin D deficient. And most people probably are vitamin D deficient, especially if their skin is dark, because they require more sun exposure, and most people live indoors these days, especially,
dark,
of course,
mean,
in the wintertime,
you mean,
which,
like,
by
like
the way,
black,
is when the flu is worse.
You mean, like, if you're black, you need more vitamin D than if you're pale, pasty white?
No, you don't need more vitamin D. It's just that you need more sunlight for your skin to make it. So that dark-skinned people should be even more aware of the need to take supplements.
Interesting. Why is vitamin D treated like a drug, like it's some, you know, you go and get a prescription or something? What is the deal?
You're asking me questions to which there is no answer. I mean, vitamin D is available over the counter. There have been efforts to tell people, oh, it might poison you, don't take too much, even though most people probably are vitamin D deficient and they get away with it. Is it weakening their bone strength? Probably. Is it weakening their immune system? Probably. But that's just not one of the things that Big Pharma or the NIH is interested in investigating.
Wow. That is a profound answer you just gave, Dr. Orient. We got about 2 minutes or so. AAPSonline.org, DrJaneOrient.org. Last thought is yours. Anywhere you want to go, anything I didn't ask you that you want to say, it's been a pleasure. The last 2 minutes is all yours.
I think that this COVID-19 is a terrible disaster for the world. People are going to starve to death. People are committing suicide because their livelihood has been destroyed. This need not be. We have never reacted to a viral disease this way. Viral pandemics come and go. There are ways of treating people, but panic is absolutely not indicated. It does nothing except exacerbate the problems. We all need to get immune to this. Those of us who are most vulnerable need to be protected. But early treatment needs to be known and accessible to everybody.
You made me think of a question. I said I wasn't going to ask you. The death numbers from 2020 to 2019 are pretty much the same. To call this a pandemic, we're not seeing crazy amounts of deaths increase this year. Your thoughts?
Well, the all-cause mortality rate is pretty much down to normal most places. In some places, 2019 mortality is, or 2020 mortality is not even remarkable. If you look at the graph, you can't even tell which was the pandemic year if you put, you know, several decades together.
Well, so is that the pandemic? I mean, can that be, that to me, that's not a pandemic.
Well, that's right. But you're not in charge of making the definition.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Dr. Orient. God bless you and everything you do. I hope everything to AAPSonline.org. I think it's really important to check out her three-stage guide that she has there and all her information. Thank you so much for coming on today, Dr. Orient.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Icke is on later this week. Gerald Salente, Wayne Elliott, among others. Great week here on the Power Hour. We're going to do a lot of calls the first hour with the news. We want to hear from you. I know this is a time where lots on your mind. Well, lots on our minds. We want to hear from you. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you for everything you do. Happy, healthy, successful, and free. It's all about the truth, and the truth sets you free. God bless you. Thank you for all the callers today. We'll see you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.